Welcome to the Lean Health Tech Podcast, where industry professionals discuss trends and topics where efficiency, healthcare, and technology meet. My name is Taryn Shipley, and I'm your host.
Today's guest speaker is Jared Kaplan. He is the CEO of Indigo. So thanks for joining us, Jared.
Thanks so much for having us. Really appreciate it.
Can you give me kind of the elevator pitch of what Indigo is?
Absolutely. We are a next generation medical malpractice platform. And the premise is that this product is really expensive for doctors. It's a real painful process to apply for insurance. And ultimately, doctors today aren't getting credit for their individual customized risk profile. And so we threw out the application. We take a doctor's NPI, the National Provider ID. And just from what that one data point, we're able to underwrite the physician based upon their individualized profile. And about half the time, we could save you 10% or more without sacrificing insurance coverage or claims management.
What are providers saying about the service once they use it?
Well, I think ease of doing business is the one clear advantage. It's just so easy for us to take a look and at least provide you a quote on the product. But beyond that, I think there's a lot of appreciation. Medical practices are under tremendous pressure from a top line perspective today. And this particular product is typically your most expensive line item besides payroll. So if we can help you save some time and some money and allow you to do what you do best, which is make life and death decisions, we think it's a home run for everyone involved.
It's really refreshing to hear that the physicians are being put first, because oftentimes you'll hear like they're just a cog in a system. They have so much documentation to do and, you know, put the patients first. Someone is thinking about these physicians, these providers, and kind of catering to them. I think it's a kind of a breath of fresh air, like finally, something is easy for us.
Yeah, well, thank you. And we think we are off to a really great start in providing this product. And we're just going to get better. I mean, we're early on. The company's been in the marketplace for less than 2 years. We learn every day. We get better every day. And ultimately, we just want to make sure people are paying in line with their underlying risk profiles. And today, the incumbents just don't have the ability to do that. So that's the arbitrage, and we're the leader, but a lot of work still left to do.
How did you come up with this idea, and was it difficult to build?
Well, I will say originally the idea was incubated by a private investment firm in Nashville named Rubicon Founders, which has gained notoriety in the healthcare technology investment space here. After being in business for a short period of time, Adam Bowler, who runs that private equity firm, has a terrific history, both as an investor and as an operator in healthcare. And he and I worked together way back in the day, about 15 years ago. And so he gave me a call and said that they were thinking about this idea. And what I loved is, although I had never spent a lot of time in medical malpractice, I have spent a lot of time in old school industries helping new school technology as a disruptor in these Stone Age spaces. And when you look at medical malpractice, it is the definition of a Stone Age space. You have some incredibly competitive insurance carriers out there. They have built large books of business. They have brand names within the physician community, but none of them have adopted this new age technology. And so with that, I saw the opportunity to provide a much better mousetrap, if you will, to help us figure out which docs were paying too much and who we could reward. And so I jumped at that idea. And then obviously over the last couple of years here, we've iterated on that a number of times to get to the product that we're offering in the marketplace today.
And you live in the perfect country to do this, because the US is kind of infamous for their sue happy mentality, especially when it comes to healthcare. Would you consider expanding to other countries, or are you just in the US right now?
I think there's a huge opportunity in the United States, and we're super early on in its infancy. There are absolutely international opportunities as well, but you hit the nail on the head. I mean, especially post-COVID, you have seen in medical malpractice two key themes. One is this theme of nuclear verdicts. We are seeing larger and larger awards getting paid due to the liberalization of many of the juries out there, and the way that some of the jurisdictions, rules, and regulations work. And so, if you're on the wrong side of that, it is incredibly painful. And then you also have the theme of litigation funders who have made the barrier to sue as low as it's ever been. So, a patient on a contingency basis can not put any money up front and have a suit be brought against a physician practice. And those are very scary themes for doctors and for hospitals as the awards get larger and larger and the ease of doing becomes easier and easier. So we're focused now here, but there are opportunities national and international that we will look at over time, but not in the near term.
So if I'm a physician in the US, then I get the quote more quickly. Basically, use my NPI to give me an immediate quote using AI. And then after that, is it the same, I mean the same quality of insurance as it would be if I were to get a quote that takes weeks and weeks from the old companies?
Great question. Yeah, so the status quo today is similar to what you said. A practice is given a 15-page application with a couple hundred questions, and lots of times the PDF is not even fillable. So you're downloading the PDF, you are printing it out, you're writing in pencil or pen your answers, you're scanning it, you send it back to your insurance broker, who then sends it to the insurance carrier markets to quote. And it's typically 7 to 10 days before you get a quote back. And that quote is underwritten based mostly on your macro profile. They'll look at where you're based, what specialty you practice. They will look at your claims history. They may look at your education. And that's essentially it. So it's a painful, long process. And at the end of the day, if you're a let's pick, in New York City, if we lined up all the OBs in New York City and we separated the group into the one group who has no claims and the other group who has claims history, I would bet you the group with no claims are going to be priced within an incredibly narrow range with very little thought on your individual profile. Our process is we work with insurance brokers exclusively. So you're still going to work with an insurance broker, but we've already priced the 1 million docs in the country because MPIs are public, and so we can provide something in real time. And you hit it with the comment. We could do it without sacrificing coverage. So the coverage is going to look like all the best carriers, and equally importantly, if you have an issue, we have a fantastically talented claims management team that will make sure you're handled appropriately.
So, I mean, are there any downsides? Because it sounds pretty amazing.
No, there's well, from my perspective, there's no downsides, right? We fight some of the qualitative factors that are just the reality of a young business, right? There are companies in the space that have been in business for 100 years. And so when someone says, well, you haven't been in business 100 years, how do I trust you? And we've been really thoughtful about that, right? We have an A-minus rating, which shows our financial stability. The team is made up of, I would argue, the gods of the medical malpractice space, in tandem with some of the most talented folks from the financial technologies space. Clearly, it's an easy process. So we think there's very little reason why you wouldn't give us a shot. And we're working incredibly hard to ensure that you view us as credible and here for the long term. But sometimes you just got to be in business for a couple of years to get people to believe you. So we're still building that trust in the marketplace. But here we are, less than 2 years in the market, and we have we had tremendous success in a short period of time.
Are you permitted to say some of the names of your customers? Like, are there any names, bigger house names that people might recognize and say, oh, if they're, if so and so is using their service, then we would like to as well?
I wouldn't name the individual doctors and the groups that we have insured, but what I will say is we've been thoughtful about the broker network that we have compiled, and the brokers are the key to working as the conduit between markets like us and the physician practices. And the way we've curated that broker network, we have the best of the best that are distributing the product on our behalf, and the fact that they trust us goes a long way. I would also say when you look at our team and you look at the folks who came from medical malpractice, they don't just have 2 years of experience in this space. We're talking 20, 25, in some cases 30 years of experience, and they came from the old school and they saw the opportunity here, and so that gives us a lot of credibility as well.
So it sounds like you need to, your next foray should be into the patient side of healthcare because that's a hot mess right now. I'm gonna say it, United, the Optum. I mean, would you ever consider going into the consumer side of healthcare insurance?
I don't think we consider going into the consumer side. I do think there's a big opportunity in the self-insured area of this market. So when you look at medical malpractice, it's about a $13 billion market. About $6 billion of that is in the physician world. You have another $5 billion or so that's in the self-insured world. And most of those are hospital systems or large facilities. And today, they don't buy private insurance like a independent physician practice will. They will take most of the risk themselves, and then they'll buy what's called excess insurance through some traditional parties to ensure that if there's a catastrophic event, they have some additional coverage there. Most of those companies lack the tools and the insight to predict future claims. And our algorithm, our data as a service is a terrific way to figure out, number one, which doctors should have privileges at the hospital. So, who should we allow to use our facilities, even if they're not employed? And then there's the employed docs, and most of those are self-insured. Our tool can help you figure out who is more likely to get a claim in the future. And there's a lot of decisions you can make based upon that. So, we absolutely think there's a massive opportunity on the self-insured side, in addition to what we're already doing on the insured side.
Okay, so you said there's a massive opportunity there, as in that's where you plan to go next, or that's where you've already begun going next.
We plan to go there next. We're in preliminary discussions with a number of hospital systems, but and I like the pain. We talked about the nuclear verdicts earlier. There's an industry rag magazine that we get weekly. Most weeks, there's a multi-million-dollar claim that a hospital system is paying. In addition to that, we know the excess insurance, the reinsurance structures of these hospitals are seeing a tremendous cracking based upon these nuclear verdicts. And so it's much more difficult for hospitals to buy that excess insurance as they used to. So seeing those pains in the marketplace, we think our tool is a fantastic addendum to how hospitals are looking at managing risk today. And we absolutely plan to go there in the future.
You'll have to give me a little medical malpractice insurance 101 here. Do you have to wait? I mean, I'm thinking of my own personal insurance where you can only enroll during a certain period of the year. Is that the case for medical malpractice insurance?
Typically, it's an annual policy, so you have a renewal date, and that's when you see most switching occur. But there's nothing preventing a physician practice from switching midterm. So we see it often that someone will be introduced to us midterm, and they'll decide to make the switch because they want to achieve that savings today. They don't want to wait the 3, 6, 9 months until the renewal date, and there's no reason why you can't do that.
Do you take feedback from your end users? Like if you had a customer, is there a form where they could approach you and say, "Hey, have you considered improving your platform by doing this?"
Well, we're always looking to learn from all the constituents, whether it's our distribution partners or the end customers that have suggestions or ways that we can improve our go-to-market. We're very, very willing to listen. Most of what we can do is quantitative because the data is so specific and accurate out there. It's really challenging to take, for instance, healthcare medical claims data and to mine it and then match it back to a physician. That's really, really hard. But what it allows you to do is to better understand how a physician is actually practicing, and that's how we price our product. And so as part of that, we'll want to understand whether anything is changing in the future from a physician perspective than what has happened in the past. Obviously, we can't predict the future if you're changing the way that you practice going forward, but we will work in tandem with the distribution partners and the physician practices to make sure that we fully understand what the risk looks like going forward. And that will give us some additional leeway to ensuring that we price it accurately.
My expertise is working with medical data, including claims. So the fact that you have figured out how to leverage data in a way that is so impactful and successful is huge because, I mean, people are drowning in all this data. the volume of data is not the issue. It's how do we leverage that data, to your point, to extract it and make business decisions and make things easier. So props to you for jumping in the sea of data and figuring out how can we use this.
Thank you. And it's such a advantage to not have the infrastructure and the baggage of some of the legacy folks in the space. I mean, that is our core advantage. We can move at lightning speed, and we can invest in and adopt these new age technologies that allow the processing of very messy big data back to a specific use point. Whereas if you've got lots of people and lots of legacy technology, and your ways of doing business are codified at this point, it's just a lot harder to turn the tanker ship. And you've seen this in lots of spaces. I think medical malpractice is one of the last bastions, especially in insurance, to adopt some of these machine learning and AI technologies. But that's why new companies come along and can disrupt pretty quickly when they can adopt in the new stuff.
Yeah, the agility is key for sure for these startup companies. Any other comments or thoughts on why Indigo is unique? I mean, it sounds like there are no real competitors in this space, right? There are no other companies using AI for medical malpractice insurance at this time.
We were absolutely the first to adopt it. We have lots of talented competitors out there. I'm sure everyone's trying to figure this out. But to your point, the agility is a massive advantage. Rubicon Founders, the incubator here, started looking at this 2 years before I joined in early 23. So we've got 4 years here in the marketplace, and we are constantly iterating and changing and improving the proprietary algorithm and how we think about risk. So that's a major advantage. But it behooves all companies to try to figure out how they can leverage what is out there now. And just building company, you can do so much with so much less than you have in the past. And so we're just going to continue to improve, and hopefully no one can catch us. But we're also humble and recognize that there's some very worthwhile competitors out there, and it keeps us paranoid to make sure we can keep that lead as long as possible.
I love that mentality, and I know that you're very humble, but I have faith that Indigo is going to be the forefront of this medical malpractice insurance using AI, mostly because your background. You have successfully helped build another company in the past. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I was an investor for the first half of my career, trying to start companies. And I left that world when I co-founded a company called Insurion, which was my first foray into property and casualty insurance. And Insurion was a online agency for freelance businesses. The idea that there was very small businesses, one person businesses, typically got screwed when they went to go buy insurance, because everyone was asking them to pay too much for their true underlying risk profile. And so in that business, we were able to build an Expedia.com-like experience for freelancers to come and shop efficiently and ensure that they got coverage in line with their risk profile. We saved them a lot of money. And the secret on freelancers is that they file claims at much less frequency than larger businesses. We ended up selling that business to Hub, and the Bold Penguin got split into two. So that was a terrific outcome. And then after that, I built a company called Opportunity Financial OppFi, which was a lending business, so not insurance. But in that one, we were able to use alternative data to figure out what non-prime borrowers, so borrowers that had poor FICO scores, were actually great credit risks. They had both the ability and the willingness to repay. We didn't use FICO at all. We used all these alternative data points. And that's where I learned how powerful our alternative data can be in building a very profitable lending business. And if you look at Indigo, it's the perfect baby of Insurion and OppFi. By the way, OppFi, we took public in mid-21, and is a fantastic company doing terrific today and providing much cheaper credit than otherwise would be available for these customers. But Indigo is taking the best of the best of Insurion, which was automating that front-end process, with the best of the best of OppFi, which was not only automating the process, but ensuring that you can make better risk decisions. And so we've got both of those at play here at Indigo. But the best way to describe what Indigo does is we know the 20% of docs that drive 60% of the claims. And we also know the 20% of docs that drive 2% of the claims. And so if you can avoid the bottom 20% and underwrite as much of the best 20% as possible, you're way ahead of the marketplace, and that's how we've been able to build our early advantage here.
Did you just say that 20% of docs drive 60% of the claims?
That's right. And it
Wow.
varies a little bit depending on your specialty and your geography, but that's the best way of understanding. We know for every specialty in every geography, all the docs, and we know the 20% that you don't want to insure. And so we
Sure.
avoid those. But today, what happens is the best customers, right? And the best customers could look two ways. The best customers are very clean accounts with clean histories who are paying too much today. It could also be an account that just had a claim, but everyone thinks it's super risky. So we can tell the difference and then focus on that. But essentially every specialty in every jurisdiction has a different risk curve, and what drives risk may differ materially. It could be for a primary care physician that prescribes opioids at two times the benchmark rate. There's a good bet that that doc is going to be pretty risky, and so that will go towards the risky end of the cohort curve. Or it could be a macro reason why a primary medical doctor is risky in a different jurisdiction. It could be a socio or demographic factor. It could be a political attribute that we figure out. So the beauty of this very sophisticated, complex algorithm is we know what weights towards risk on a specialty basis, geography by geography, and we do it in real time. It's super powerful.
Are those risk weights shared with the provider? Like, here's why this is your estimated cost, because you are high risk in this category.
We don't typically share it. We do have all the underlying data. We use it sometimes to educate the distribution partners so that they understand and they can answer some of the doctor's questions.
Sure.
We do think that from the hospital perspective, when we sell the data as a service product, it's very important that the hospital understands what is weighted, because there are some behavioral factors that they may be able to manage from a risk perspective that could reduce future claim liability. So, when you're doing active risk management, it's important. When we're just there on the market, we understand the reason, but we typically don't go into extreme detail.
On those claims, does it matter if the provider was, I don't know if this is the right terminology, found guilty or not?
Historically, it may or may not. Just because you had claims in the past is not necessarily predictive of claims in the future. We know in this space, approximately 80% of the time, a doctor receives a claim, it's not a real claim. It doesn't mean you don't spend money defending it. A lot of times you do have to spend money defending it, but the doctor is going to be found not guilty. 20% of the time, they're going to be found liable. In those instances, there's a whole list of reasons why the doctor may be liable, and some are scarier than others. And the key is understanding that on a specialty by jurisdiction basis to figure out what is going to be predictive into the future. So it's not always true that because you were found guilty in the past, it makes you more risky in the future.
Okay. Yeah, and the key, I'm assuming the key is just good documentation, right? Because if you have a solid notes, solid documentation, then if you provided the correct care, it's pretty hard to claim that you're guilty in court.
Yeah, I think that's documentation. By the way, that's becoming easier and easier with some of the AI tools. So making sure you're buttoned up there, making sure that your standard of care protocols are appropriate, making sure your diagnostics are appropriate. These are all areas that AI technology will be able to help physicians reduce liability in the future for sure. But I will also say it's not always a quality question. Your highest quality doctors doing the most complex procedures for the riskiest populations are going to be higher medical malpractice risks. And so just because you have a bad outcome doesn't mean that you did something wrong. And it's very important to understand that from a medical malpractice risk perspective. And then you got to price the product appropriately. So you're getting enough premium to protect you across, a scale when you insure these docs. But that's where we can find a lot of arbitrage in the pricing as well in the marketplace, because a lot of times the marketplace won't appreciate that fact.
I don't suppose you guys are using a data point that would measure bedside manner, essentially, like maybe press gainy patient satisfaction scores. But it would make sense that if you have a poor bedside manner, you're more likely to get sued as well.
So it's actually Malcolm Gladwell had a book, I think it was Tipping Point, where they listened to a bunch of recordings that measured bedside manner, and they did empirically connect it to higher medical malpractice risk. We are diligently working on all of the derivatives that exist out there in the stratosphere to figure out what is more predictive and less predictive from a future risk perspective. And you can imagine there's a lot of interesting data out there. Just think about health grades data and customer review data. So we're actually early on in connecting that, but it's one of the many ways we are working to continuously improve the algorithm. We see it's not just bedside manner. We see docs who look super clean, who score well on our algorithm, but then we're able to find something that exists with outside of the of their providing care life that may suggest that they are higher risk. That's data that the traditional providers would never see as part of the underwriting process. This is why it gets complex to figure out who you actually want to insure at the end of the day. But beyond the healthcare claims data and some of the social demographic data and the political data, there are lots of other attributes that are out there that I think will continue to allow us to generate our lead in this marketplace as we improve over time.
Do you have any last comments or thoughts that you want to share about Indigo?
Yeah, I think just from a business building standpoint, as an insurance technology company, we're in a very interesting era of healthcare technology and insurance technology. And what we saw in the last era, you had lots of companies that kind of spoke like us in other insurance products who grew incredibly fast because capital was cheap, and they had the promise that they were going to drive loss ratios lower, but it never really happened. And I think that game is done. And so when we go build this business, we are highly focused on rapidly growing the business, but not growing it too fast where we lose the ability to empirically prove that we are generating better loss experience. And that's a challenging thing. By definition, you have to grow faster than, excuse me, slower than your maximum velocity to generate those types of outcomes. But we think it's paramount for a business like ours in this current era to rise above the last era of insurance technology and to become the poster child for what we call insurance technology 3.0. So we're super privileged to have patient investors who understand both sides of this, and we hope we are able to continue to prove this over years. But that's what we've been focused on early on, which is, we're eating our own dog food, if you will. We measure our success not only in how fast we are growing, but in those loss experience numbers. And so far here, 2 years in, they look pristine. But again, this is a longer tail line. It takes 2 to 3 years to figure out what your true loss ratios are. And so we just got to keep on moving forward with that pragmatic approach. And I think we're going to end up being a big winner here. And we think in 5 years, we're a top five physician and insurance company. And because we've been betting, taking risk on the physician practices, it will make us that more credible to the hospital systems to use the algorithm as a data point to help them manage their books of business as well.
Jared, thank you so much for taking the time to tell us all about Indigo and kind of take us under the hood to see what Indigo is.
Thank you so much, Taryn. Really appreciate it, and hope we can continue to come back and update you over time.
This concludes today's Lean Health Tech podcast. If you're a listener and would like to hear a certain topic covered in future episodes, please let me know by leaving a review or comment. Thanks for joining, and be sure to check out the next episode.